Episode number 13 of the Crossing Borders Wrestling Podcast. My name's Strenuous Manflurry, your host for this evening, and I'm joined by my usual colleague, Writer Catherine. How are you doing today, Writer Kath?
I'm pretty good. A little tired from work, but always happy to podcast.
Are you always happy to talk pro wrestling?
Yeah, why the hell not?
Why the hell not indeed? Well, it's been a good week. Overall,
yeah.
It's been a pretty good week, I think.
It's certainly been eventful.
And we're going to talk about these events. The events include TLC, Raw, a title change, TakeOver, and then we'll end with questions if you want to do questions. So the big thing, the big topic going around right now is, twofold, I guess. Vince McMahon came back, but more importantly, Roman Reigns is the champion, and he won it on Raw.
Yes, he did.
So how... Overall, from TLC, the big closing angle was Roman Reigns killing everyone to death.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Monday, Vince McMahon came out after Stephanie had slapped Roman Reigns 8 times in the face, right in the ear.
Yeah.
But Vince came back. He got into it with Roman. They had a verbal confrontation. He kicked him in the plums, and then he showed up in the main event and ate a Superman punch en route to... Roman Reigns winning with no help. He lost with no help on Sunday, and then he won with no help there on Raw, and he is the champion. How do you think about the whole order of operations there?
People talk about how Roman should have kind of a Goldberg-style push,
mm-hmm.
where they play to his strength, have short matches, and let him be dominant. It's a classic kind of push. Having him get slapped by a lady and kicked in the nads by an old man... is certainly not the way to do that, but apparently it worked out for them, so we'll just see if Roman will be able to carry the momentum.
He got his back on Vince, at least, and Vince is a much bigger character and figure than Stephanie, so...
Yeah.
They didn't hit it out of the park in every segment, but overall they won the day.
Yeah, so again, it will be up to them to maintain that momentum. We've talked about that before, where... They can start a storyline, but they have no idea how to finish it.
Now, are you worried at all that, you know, given here on Raw itself, they kind of stumbled a little bit? I mean, they wound up doing good. They wound up with, you know, Roman getting a huge positive reaction, everybody going crazy. They booked him strong in the end, but I would say the Stephanie thing was very ill-advised.
Absolutely, because we were talking about that last week, where the Authority are very meta.
Yeah.
And they're able to do things that other people can't. And Stephanie in particular, where she will literally stand in front of her 6-foot husband protectively and slap people because she can get no physical comeuppance.
Exactly.
So having her do that slap, despite it being a trademark of hers, really makes people look ineffectual.
It does. And the worry that I have is that it'll continue happening. And there's, you know, Roman still... He's not, like, over now. You know what I mean? He's not, like, bona fide, no doubt about it, never going to have a problem again, Stone Cold Steve Austin, just top guy. It's like, he's going to have some bad reactions. He's going to have some good ones. He's going to have some tough crowds that he has to win over. And the worry is, if you don't do it right, and you insist on doing things the way that you insist on doing them, that you create a snowball effect, and he's right back to where he was. And
now they don't have, like, pulling the trigger moment of him winning the belt.
Right.
Because they've done that. So.
And he hit Vince. So
yeah.
You can't have him hit Vince, and they're not going to have him hit Stephanie. And I'm not advocating for that, but
no.
That would get a big pop.
It really would. Like, back in the Attitude Era, she would have But, you know, her going, he's a father, I'm a mother. Like,
yeah.
That does the talent no favors, because if they retaliate, that's the thing. Like, Stephanie's line about, you know, if you take away my education, I'm just as stupid as you all. Great. You know, it's a heel being self-aggrandizing,
mm-hmm.
but you hate them for it because they're being smug. You know, a woman pleading for the safety of her children's father when he's the villain does not make for a sympathetic babyface when they're retaliating.
True.
So it goes back to that kind of, they can say things other people can't.
Yeah. So I guess kind of the overall thing here is they're not out of the woods yet.
No.
They are on the right path, and it's up to them to stay focused and to be deliberate in what they do and to stick to it and to keep on doing it right, because the, you know, it's not going to be, because even on Raw, there were a few things that weren't so good. It's not going to be just one thing, but it's the overall presentation. And the more you stumble, the more chance it has to just having the ass end drop out.
Yeah, so it's one of those things where they're just going to have to really start the building blocks from the bottom up.
Yeah.
You have a 3-hour show you need to make interesting. It can't just be the main event that holds people's interest.
And so. Yeah, and you know, one of the other things I really don't like is they built up this, you know, Stable Wars feud, and then they don't even bother to explain why Roman's friends did not show up at any point to help him. And I get that it makes Roman look strong when he goes over everybody, but
yeah.
There's that lingering plot thread, and I think people notice it.
They could have easily had a scene where, okay, Ambrose gets jumped. And
right.
Then, oh, the Usos get jumped. So that would make Roman an underdog without saying he's an underdog.
Yeah. Or, you know, I even thought of, you know, right now it appears that Wade Barrett got a stinger. He's back in the thick of things. He's not really taking bumps right now, but it seems like he's okay.
Yeah.
But he was out for a few weeks. And what I didn't understand is you have at TLC, you have a pre-baked excuse for why the Usos weren't there. They were at the hospital because it was a very brutal match they were in.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're not going to send Wade Barrett out, then how about he was busy backstage keeping Dean occupied, or he fought with
yeah.
Dean, or, hey, maybe even Dean hurt him, and that's how you explain his stinger.
And, yeah, you know, like they take each other out even.
Yeah, sure. And that's why and you can even explain that on Raw if you want, you know, but you have to have the announcer saying, like, where is everyone? And then you can explain
yeah.
it on Raw if you wanted to, but they never brought it up. And then again, in the main event, you know,
yeah.
you might as well not have a stable if you're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. You know, they over-explain some things and under-explain others.
Or not, I mean, they didn't even under-explain it. They
yeah.
didn't at all.
Yeah, and it's definitely one of those things where it's one of those little touches they need to do where they just need to pay a little more attention to detail.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got 3 hours to fill. They could have shown those segments we just brainstormed.
Sure. And, I mean, I know that they're kind of fly by the seat of their pants and everything, but don't
yeah.
fly by the seat of your pants when it's your main angle.
Yeah. I mean, at least have a point A, point B, have a little wiggle room for wherever you wind up, but have a plan, have a destination.
So
like,
that was more of a, I mean, I don't even want to call that a minor niggle, because I think people pick up on the lapses in logic.
Yeah.
And to not address it on Raw a full 24 hours later that's weird to me.
Yeah, I mean, they could have at least said, okay, Ambrose was super banged up, he was at the trainer's, but...
Or whatever.
Yeah. And it's just, that's kind of one of those little storylines where it could have just been tightened up a bit more.
Yeah. But end result is you had to, you know, you wanted to put the belt on Roman. You wanted to do it in a way that would maximize the possibility of the crowd supporting him. And they wound up doing a pretty damn good job at the end of Raw. And apparently on SmackDown, they send out security to take him away, and he annihilates all of them. So,
that's the sort of thing he should be doing.
Yeah!
You know, like, when he has to be taken out by a whole fleet of security, when, you know, you've got people talking about how he's kind of a different animal, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I remember during the Shield and Wyatt's feud where Bray just said, you're a strange one. And it put over this point that he's different. He's not your average dude. He's not your average wrestler. So.
Yeah. So, you know, the one thing that it always is funny when we talk about Roman Reigns right now, we always have to talk about, well, if they do this and if they do that and if they do this and, you know, if they do it right.
Yeah.
And it just feels like to me, I hate to be a pessimist, but it feels like to me they'll fuck up.
Yeah,
because they have every other time, and I think he's got a little bit of momentum, a lot of momentum right now, in fact. But it's not going to make up for too many, you know, slip-ups.
Yeah, it's really, what really astonishes me is that all I can think is, oh my god, what would they have been doing with poor Seth? Had he not gotten hurt, he would just be another guy so fast.
He would have lost to Roman at the was that Survivor Series? And they'd probably have the return match at TLC there. And
yeah.
Lord only knows what.
Exactly. So, holy cow. I mean, again, you never wish an injury on somebody, but
yeah.
Man, the timing could not have been better for him.
Seth Rollins got out of doing the job. He's going to come back as a face and probably feud with Triple H.
He learned from Shawn Michaels, truly.
That he did. So, you know, not to get too negative here. I don't think we're being negative. It's more of a...
Not at all.
It's a realistic outlook on things, isn't it?
You know,
maybe they'll do it right, maybe they won't.
We've been burned so many times that there's no sense in not being cautious.
Exactly. They have not engendered much in the way of waiting and seeing where it goes, if you will. But we will wait, and we will see, and hopefully they keep on doing it the way they're doing it. But I think, to me, the modern WWE angle, in the last however many years that I've been watching, they have not shown a beginning-to-end thorough view. Like, they haven't, for any feud that I can think of.
Yeah.
So you figure at some point, you know, right now they're doing it right, but at some point the story is going to change, and it's not going to change for the better, is how I look at it.
Yeah, and they're, like you said, they're going to bottom out. They'll lose their momentum because they don't have a plan. That's the bottom line.
But maybe we will be wrong. And you never know. Maybe they'll do it right a few more weeks in a row, and it won't matter because Roman will be so fucking hot.
That seems unlikely.
We'll see.
He's been cutting promos about testicles.
People seem to like it.
Well, you know what? He's a cold crowd away from losing a lot of momentum.
That's how I kind of look at it, yeah. So, just to very briefly touch on TLC, you didn't have a chance to watch this. You were out and about doing birthday stuff.
Yes, I was.
So I'll ask you this instead. Did you do anything cool for your whole birthday weekend?
I went to the Cheesecake Factory for the first time with my friend.
The Cheesecake Factory.
Yes.
I guess that's all right.
It's a restaurant. I've never been there.
Yeah, it's an all right restaurant.
Yeah, we just went shopping. We made buttons.
What?
Like, buttons.
You made them?
Yeah, made them.
Oh.
At a wonderful store.
Very cool.
Yep.
And that was your break.
Yeah, it was quite a lot of fun.
I don't doubt it. No hard drinking, no partying, no getting in fights, lighting things on fire.
No, we watched a movie called Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart. That was really neat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's an animated French movie. It was beautiful and really well done.
Well,
yeah.
I can't say I've seen that one.
It's pretty good.
Was it well booked?
Yeah.
Did they keep Roman strong?
No.
Oh, well. Let's talk about this TLC card. I'm sure you've heard of everything by now, and I'm sure everyone out there has heard at least a podcast or two. And in fact, you could have listened to one that I was in that ran this down in depth. It's called the Wrestle Hut Pisscast. It's not as good as this one, but it's pretty good. But you will want to go back and watch the tag team ladder match, Kath.
Yes, I've heard some good things.
Yeah, it's not my favorite match of the year by a long shot, but I mean, four
because
stars.
It doesn't have...
Because it doesn't have Sombra, yes. It did have some luchas in it, though. But an absolute jaw-dropping spectacle, and the Salida del Sol is a move that, from the top of the ladder through a ladder bridge that, you know, exploded. It was made of wood, but who cares? But I will never forget that. That's going to be one of those iconic moments in wrestling for me, because it was so unbelievably spectacular. So that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the card mostly sucked. You might want to watch the tag team tables elimination match, because it was one of the funniest matches I've seen this year. It was so bad. It was so bad. They fucked everything up constantly. So if you're into like Schadenfreude, watch that one.
Yeah. And then Ambrose and Owens.
Not as good as, well, what did we say? If they get fucked on time.
Yeah.
Guess what happened?
They got fucked on time.
Yep, they didn't even get 10 minutes.
Yeah. But
Charlotte and Paige had a 5-star match. And then 4-star Roman actually really did have a 4-star match with Sheamus.
Yeah.
It took a long time to get there. They basically resigned themselves to the fact that they needed to beat the fuck out of each other. And they did.
And I mean, Sheamus, with that skin tone of his, the way he bruises, mm-hmm. like, instantly, he just always looks like he's been in a war.
Yeah, it looked like he had been butchered, filleted.
Wow.
His back was fucked up. But a fun match, great post-match, two-match card. The dark match I did not see, Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch, apparently pretty good, but nothing really to write home about, unfortunately. So...
Yeah, would you? You'd expect nothing less than really good.
Yeah,
those two.
You'd expect spectacular if they got the time and the angle to get them over, but they didn't.
Nope.
Anyway, Raw came about, and you did watch that one, and I did not.
Whoa, inversion.
How you like that? It's like we planned it. And they had, from what I understand, was a pretty okay Raw with a great closing segment.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any particular thoughts about Raw that you want to get out there?
Wow, Sheamus.
Sheamus?
Like, just... The poor dude was just so completely... a belt pillow.
Yeah.
And it's kind of astonishing, because I was actually having a bit of fun with his title reign. Because...
Oh, because he was being goofy?
Yeah. Not, like, New Day level of goofy, but... So many times lately, the champion has been this kind of serious, suit-wearing dude.
True.
And Sheamus was just being out there like, I'm the freaking champ, fella! And... like, rocking out with the New Day and just being so smug and so over the top about it that it was kind of endearing. It's the most I've ever really liked Sheamus.
Well...
Yeah, it's weird for me because Sheamus is just one of those dudes where he's fine in the ring. I dare I say he's quite good.
Yep.
But he's just never really been able to connect.
Yeah.
He actually had a great face run where there were all these monsters roaming around, and he would just be like, I'm going to fight them. Screw it.
I think the thing with Sheamus is he is missing something. And not everybody has what it takes to be a top guy, and that's okay. You know, he's pretty fucking good for in a different life, you know, in a different era of wrestling. He'd be close to a top guy, and he'd be a big fucking deal. And that would be great, but now if you're not the top guy, you don't mean shit.
And even if you're a top guy, if you're not...
You don't always mean shit, yeah.
Yeah, and it was amazing to me that I still see people debating if Seth Rollins is good, and it's like, are you not paying attention to his matches?
Yeah.
Because that is some nonsense.
Yeah, and that's kind of more to my point of being a top guy. There's a big difference, ultimately, between Sheamus and Seth Rollins. And again,
absolutely.
No shame in it, you know?
No.
There's a big difference between Sheamus and Kevin Owens.
For sure.
The WWE has a fuck ton of top guys, but none of them are.
Yeah, and through no fault of their own.
Yep.
And, I mean, we've used the word hamstrung, and Rollins certainly was.
Yeah, and then he
fucked up. With regards to his book. So, yeah.
So, on Raw, other than that, they had a peculiar New Day segment, from what I understand. They put over their opponents. They said, you know, sorry for cheating, is heat of the moment. They all shook hands, and then they just started dancing, and the faces were like, that's disrespectful, let's go murder them.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those tonally dissonant moments.
Yeah.
And they've kind of forgotten how to write a cool face. They've got cool heel down.
Do they?
Well, they had. For a while, but...
Like, who's a cool heel? Like, right now, who's the cool heel? Like, I can't think of anybody.
I'm so tired.
Kevin Owens, maybe?
Yeah.
I wouldn't call him cool as much as I'd call him a badass.
Yeah, and he's, again, he's a dude where he's got kind of a relatable character, and he's a guy who will talk about his family and be like, you know, this is all, he's doing this all for his family, but he's going about it in the worst way. And you would think that a dude who's goal is to, like, provide for his family would be a face.
Right.
But he goes about it in such a dickish way, and he's such a jackass, that people boo him.
Yeah, he's pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
He's a special one, that one.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Here we go to... I really don't have many other thoughts on Raw because I didn't watch it, but I did have a overall question just on, because I haven't heard people talk about it. When Vince got punched,
yes,
just specifically, he took a Superman punch, correct?
Yeah.
So when he got knocked the fuck out, what was the reaction and what was his sell?
Oh, he sold it like he always sells it.
Dead?
Yeah. He was dead for a while.
Did he get up or...
They showed, like, a post-Raw thing where Ambrose and the Usos came out to celebrate with Owens, and Vince was just getting up.
Did he join in?
No.
No?
He wasn't happy.
Oh. Oh, well.
Yeah. So, definitely, his typical Vince selling. Mm. And we've talked about that with Stephanie in the past, where her... Compared to Vince, she's reluctant to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
And that is the problem. When you've got these unflappable heels at the top, and you wonder why they don't just fire anyone who disagrees with them.
Yeah.
When that becomes a plot point, where it's almost like a badly written movie, where the villain captures the hero and doesn't just kill them.
There's motivation for why they wouldn't want to, and there was motivation for why Vince McMahon didn't just fire Austin.
Yes,
you know,
and
it was hubris.
And he often said, like, Austin makes me money.
Well, and if not that, then, you know, you had that Vince McMahon's character at the time wanted to be in charge. He wanted to get back at Stone Cold for not only flouting his authority, but, you know, for beating his ass. So he wanted to beat his ass back. He could have just fired him, but he didn't wanna.
For sure.
Now, like, Triple H had his handpicked champion in Seth Rollins, and half the time he didn't even like him and was like, you know, we're going to test you. And
yeah.
How is that going to make either, like, how does that make Seth a heel? How does that even make sense for Triple H's motivation?
Yeah, I mean, if you're the boss, you could just be like, fuck you, Seth. Or, you know, he keeps setting up these challenges for Seth, and Seth keeps passing, and... Mm-hmm. You know, they could have done it any number of different ways, except they kept refusing to pull the trigger. Like, make Seth a face, or drop this.
Yeah.
Those are the two options, and they just kept dropping it. And they did it with Kane and Seth, where it took how many times and how many weeks.
Where has he been, by the way?
I don't know.
Like, I don't want him back, but I'm curious. He got a big win, and then he was just gone.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Curious how that happens sometimes, I suppose.
It is.
What else? Was there anything else on Raw or in the pay-per-view Fallout that you wanted to specifically touch upon?
Ambrose had a pretty awesome promo after winning the belt.
Did he?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Just like a backstage exclusive with...
Why did they do that?
I know.
It was a backstage exclusive.
Yeah.
So you're just watching on the app or WWE Network?
I just saw it on YouTube.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was just talking about the lineage of the belt and how the Intercontinental title has always been the workhorse title, which is very true.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
sometimes.
And he, well, historically.
The most well-remembered runs, as far as I can remember, are Honky Tonk Man and Warrior.
Well, Warriors wasn't that long.
No, but I mean, it was iconic because he changed the belt and he won the title while being the IC champion and all that shit. But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of guys. Jericho held it 9 times or whatever. And
Perfect.
Mr. Perfect.
Yeah, so, I mean, quite a lot of really solid bits of wrestling.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, he didn't get a promo out in front of the crowd, and he never explained why the fuck he didn't help his friend Roman.
Yeah, again, it would have been so easy to just show backstage attacks. And you don't need to explain them. The fans would get it.
Yeah.
And they just do not give the fans, the people watching, enough credit. They just assume they need a recap coming back from commercial. They need everything spoon-fed. And I'm not saying it needs to be high art or Shakespeare, but give the fans enough credit to assume they remember 5 minutes ago. Or last week.
Well, I mean, yeah, true. It just blows me away, you know, because it's really not, in the grand scheme of things, it's a little bit of work for a lot of bit of gain. As far as I'm concerned, because when you create a cohesive program, when you think about these little things, people feel more invested because they feel like you're taking, you have my best interest in mind as far as creating a program, and you're engaging me, you care about, you know, whether it's good or you don't, rather than just, you know, well, last week this happened, but we're not even going to reference it. We're not going to bring it up next week. We're just going to go in an all new direction. And, you know, they're going to be back being friends, and we're going to ask you to give a shit about Stable Wars again when we want to do Stable Wars. But right now, yeah. You know, and you can get it out of the way in a logical way, and it's not that fucking hard.
And, I mean, even stuff like people have turned, you know, heel, and suddenly they get along with all the heels despite, you know.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, having had a blood feud.
And thankfully, they don't really do that as much, but that's just because there aren't as many turns.
Yeah,
and if they did, I bet they fucking would.
You know, I wouldn't mind seeing a turn. It's been a while.
What was the last turn that we had? I mean, we've assuredly had several since Seth. Stardust, turning on Gold.
Kane.
We're not even going to count Kane.
Or Big Show.
Big Show's been heel a while.
He's been heel and he's been face.
They keep, like, teasing the face thing, but they haven't seemed to pull the trigger in his last run.
Yeah, and, I'm trying to think, like, I guess New Day.
Oh, New Day, yeah. Yeah, that definitely counts.
But there hasn't been, like, a main event level heel turn in a while.
Since Seth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not like Ambrose has turned, even though people are expecting it, and Owens has been a heel, and Cesaro's been a face, and not that he's a main eventer, but you know what I mean. But
yeah.
Anything like Ziggler hasn't turned in quite a while.
Yeah,
and he's been a face a long time.
And really, Ziggler needs a turn pretty desperately.
Yeah, I think he could be fun doing it.
Well, his persona, he's kind of like The Miz for me, where he's just more naturally gifted as a heel. His persona, his attitude, just far better suits a heel.
Kind of how I look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, there really hasn't been too many, and with the spate of injuries they've had, like Cesaro and stuff, and Rusev being in League of Nations is so weird.
Why is that?
It is just so counterintuitive to, like, want to root against the smiling, happy, lovey couple. Because to each other, they're faces, but for the most part, they act like heels.
True.
But they're mostly face.
They, Yeah, they. I guess they are to an extent faces.
I mean, they've. Oh no, they plotted against Ryback.
Yeah.
So, like, really?
Ryback.
They had to come up with a clever plan to outsmart Ryback. But that's, yeah. I think they've been missing out on doing a few turns here and there. Not necessarily for the sake of it, but write a storyline leading up to a turn.
Sure.
Cool. Go for it. Just because a turn is foreshadowed or obvious doesn't make it bad. I've talked about the Edge and Christian turn in the past, where it became very obvious that Christian was getting jealous of Edge's solo success, and it just kept happening and happening and happening, and then Christian finally snapped.
Yeah. That's one example, but you can also just go through history and point out almost literally every single well-executed turn in the history of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
And the one thing they all had in common is they had logic behind it, and you could see it coming. Not like you can, you know, it's so obvious as to be ridiculous, then it wouldn't be a good turn, but, like, you have the pieces in place. You don't have to explain after the fact and try to justify things that weren't there.
Exactly. Like, you know, Rollins turning on the Shield. I bought in. What does that mean?
Right.
You know, it would have been created some interesting tension if you had seen Hunter approaching Rollins and Reigns and Ambrose individually, trying to create a weak link or...
Yeah, especially if you show that, like, all of them laughed it off, and they're all like, you see what this idiot did?
Yeah.
And then it comes out.
Yeah, so you build that up, make it work.
Uh-huh. Kind of got off on a tangent there, didn't we?
Yeah, but...
That is what it is. You know, they haven't turned a lot of people lately. That's actually pretty interesting. And, I mean, I, for one, am fine with fewer turns, but maybe...
Some.
Maybe some.
Work towards them.
Yeah.
You know, okay, have that be the end game of a storyline.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right, you know, you want to turn Ryback heel? Work up to it. You know, like, point A, Ryback is face right now. We want him to be heel. What can we do? And just because, again, like, they're looks like they're doing something with Charlotte, but it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, I mean, I kind of get where they're going now that they've settled into the Becky Lynch feud, but it
yeah.
was really weird before that because it was like, they're doing this, but she turned heel to me. You know,
yeah.
in that segment with Paige. But Paige didn't turn face. And then when they're working, Charlotte... I guess Charlotte is the latest heel turn. She is technically... She worked heel at the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
It's a nebulous thing rather than... It has no impact and it has no teeth because it wasn't done with... Then again, it's the Divas division, you know?
Yeah,
and it's
and
like nothing fucking works right now. They put one of the best matches that ever happened on North American soil between two women on the pre-show for TLC, and it wasn't even a third as good as it was the first time around, you know?
Yeah. One thing I would have loved to have seen with, like, the Becky-Charlotte story is, like, you know, Rick is kind of the devil on her shoulder and Becky's the angel, and,
sure.
you know, it's kind of a metaphorical war for her soul.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that would have been kind of interesting.
Could work, yeah.
Yeah. So do a little something. Don't necessarily insult the viewer's intelligence. Don't have Michael Cole say, well, you know, explain things. Let the storyline speak for itself a bit. And if it needs a little push, then it needs a little push. But for
exactly.
the most part,
you know,
yeah.
I'd like more than anything, I'd like a competent women's division, for fuck's sake, especially when I know that most of them there can work.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of it for me boils down to the clear faces and heels.
Yeah.
None of this, you know, one week to the next, the Bellas are faces, then heels, and then, you know, Team Bad are the only ones kind of consistently bad.
Yeah, and you know, that's part and parcel with the problem, but, oh, I mean, it started off on the wrong foot with the assigning teams thing, and right from the beginning, no one had motivation, and even still today, it's beginning to wonder why anyone even bothers.
Yeah.
What's the point of anything? And they're still giving them time, you know? And they just don't get reactions for shit. Okay, I mean, Sasha gets a chance, and then when she starts wrestling, the crowd dies. And that's indicative very clearly of the division's dead. And yeah. It blows me away that this all happened. It doesn't blow me away because right when they debuted them, it's like, well, they don't know what they're doing. They're not doing it right here.
Yeah, and it was a lot of it was just, you know, we want to see the Divas get time. And it's, you know, okay, they've got time now, but they need stories.
Right. And just saying and beating the drum over and over going, you know, it's a revolution, does not make it so.
No. That's like, oh, Fandango's cool. I'm going to have Michael Cole talk about how cool he is and do Fandango's dance.
Exactly. What can you do, Kath?
Yeah.
And anything else in the general goings-on of WWE that you wanted to touch upon?
You know, like, I'm not happy that Barrett's injured, but I'm glad he's taking the time.
Well, I mean, he's already back on SmackDown.
I mean, at the very least, it seems like a lot of dudes are kind of taking their future health into account.
Yes.
And that's nice, because it's almost as if it used to be the women kind of used wrestling as a stepping stone and then moved on. And it seems like some of the guys are doing that, too. They're building up a fan base, or they're making some money, and then they get out.
I can't think of anyone who's done that.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do shit with his fan base, though. He went to become a minister.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all about people, like, looking at the wrestling industry and going, maybe it's not for me after all.
Yeah, and you see that a lot with the women.
Yeah, well, I mean, you saw it with Trish, you saw it with Lita, and Lita's back as a road agent now, which is, yeah. You know, interesting. But, yeah, you saw it with Trish, she left, and, you know, I mean, everyone left.
Yeah.
Candice Michelle.
Maria.
Well, Maria got fired.
She did?
I believe so.
But, you know, it's crazy for these women who can make a huge amount of effort, or make a huge fan base. And then just move on. So.
Yeah, Caitlyn was another one.
Yeah.
She's off doing her thing. And, you know, for her it was like, do you have any plans for me? And they were like, nope. And she said, all right, I'm done.
Yeah, and you saw Caval do the same thing.
Yes. Well, actually, it came out later that they fired him.
All right, well.
He had to lie for whatever reason. WWE is so weird. He had to lie for a period of months that it was a mutual decision before he was allowed to explain that he was fired. I don't get it at all. Weird, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you do see a degree of that going on. And, you know, the one thing that we had talked about that I'm honestly really curious about in the past is, you know, there's opportunity here, there, and everywhere, and people are up in arms in open revolt practically because of the network changes and taking away the pay-per-view payoffs and all that. And now you're looking at it, and it's like WWE has pretty much gotten anyone out on the indie scene they've wanted other than the Young Bucks, maybe. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where supposedly Nakamura's interested. They picked up one of CMLL's top stars without any, like, attempt by CMLL to keep him. They took Alberto from AAA right out from under their noses. They were talking about, you know, there was talk that Rey was going back, but he's signed with Lucha Underground now, so I guess he's there to stay, so good for him. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot, like, maybe they're starting to be a little bit of a shrink out there.
Yeah, and it's going to come to a point, too, where you've got people talk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you're an indie guy and you call your buddies in WWE and you're like, is it worth it? Someone might say no. And there's a better living now more than ever. You can make a better living on the indies than you ever could in the past.
I'm beginning to wonder, though, just thinking out loud, like, maybe there's not as much room now because of all the guys who've come over from, you know, the UK and the Mexican wrestlers coming up. You know, the AAA guys have worked Chikara, and they've worked PWG and AAW and a couple other places, and they're getting hugely over. So it's starting to feel like the indie scene has more opportunity than ever, but the same amount of slots this year that it did last year, and there's twice the amount of people fighting for it. So I'm almost wondering if that's kind of starting to be why WWE's not having any trouble getting whoever they want.
I mean, they're at a point where they can just throw boatloads of money at people.
And, I mean, it took that to get Alberto.
Yeah.
And they actually ponied it up, and they, you know, that's interesting to me, too, because it says that WWE's willing to spend.
Yeah, but eventually, you know, are you just spending so other people can't make a star? Are you just trying to stagnate the business for others?
Good question.
But
why,
the thing
why
is,
did they pay all that money to Prince Devitt, and why is he still there in NXT?
He himself said the main roster would be a bit of a step down. Because they're doing something quite different in NXT.
They are.
So.
But he wants to come up, is apparently the people in the know are apparently saying that he wants to come up and make some real money.
Yeah.
Because he's got a good contract, but he knows he can make a lot more up there.
Of course. I mean, t-shirts, etc.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably pretty cool, though, to be like the top dog and the hip thing.
They more than likely have to wait a while until some other NXT talent can step up a bit and be at his level. He's a draw in NXT right now.
Well, Sammy's back, so maybe now's the time.
Sammy, Hideo. I mean, Hideo's due back fairly soon, if I'm not mistaken.
He should be back any time now. And, you know, it's just funny to me that you have Joe down there, you have Prince Devitt, you know, Finn Balor, you have Sami Zayn back, Hideo's back, all these people, and who you don't have is Kevin Owens, who wasn't even in NXT for a year.
Yeah.
They brought him in, they put the belt on him immediately, and then they brought him up to the main roster.
That was such a weird turn.
Yeah.
I mean, he's done fine.
Yeah, he absolutely has.
Yeah. And, you know, they, contrary to what they've said about, like, having a plan for people, it's a little bit silly that, you know, they did the, look what they did with Breeze.
Right. Yeah, why even bother?
Yeah. I mean, if they could make it kind of a floating thing where, you know, you can be on the main roster for a bit, then drift back to NXT, fine.
Sure.
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. For whatever reason, they seem really
reluctant.
Yeah, like, they, I guess because they put so much effort into building the touring schedule, arranging flights and all that shit, that, like, they don't want to split it up. I don't know. I don't know how much Breeze means in NXT, but when people like the fucking Ascension get monster pops down there.
Did they?
Yeah, when they've come back, the two times they've come back, they are, like, enormously over. They're still as shitty as ever.
Yeah.
But,
and even, like, Emma's thing where she's super bitter that she didn't make it on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of something you can work with.
She's done well with it.
Yeah.
You know, but then there's further compounding issues with NXT. I mean, Jesus Christ, you know? Asuka is so good, and she's never going to be on the main roster. You never say never, but, you know, why isn't she up there now?
Yeah, again, there is that bit of adaptability, too, like, to go from the indie style. Like, imagine the Young Bucks jumping right onto the main roster. It wouldn't work. They don't fit the mold. Like,
why does anyone necessarily have to fit the mold? I mean, I know why WWE likes to do it, but I don't think that it necessarily needs to be that way. Like, the Young Bucks know how to work in a multi-camera setup. They know how to look into the hard cam. It's like, let them do their style. People like that shit.
Yeah, it is kind of strange that they're so dependent on one single look to their matches.
Yeah.
And just stuff like the New Day, where comedy matches can work.
A little bit of comedy goes a long way.
Especially, you know, for a long time, the whole company, everything was just kind of deathly serious.
Yeah.
And so having something where there's a little bit of levity and some having a sense of humor on your show isn't a bad thing.
No, it's not. And what I like about the New Day is they have that comedy, and sometimes they go too far with it, and sometimes they put him out there too long, you know, and it's not funny. But more often than not, it's still funny. But what I like is that they're not complete jokes.
No.
They're silly, and they make you laugh, and they're fun, and they're great, but then they go out there, and they win, and they're the champions, and all that fun shit. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
So, let's see. What else do we have to talk about here on the show? We had Vince come back. Triple H was out. He was back on TakeOver. And on Friday, tomorrow, they will mention how injured he is and no one's seen him and he's in the hospital shitting up blood and whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's odd, but whatever. And Roman Reigns, you know what I actually find pretty interesting, and I don't know if you have a take on this, but you know how John Cena, you know, in all these years, he's really not worked SmackDown very often.
Yeah.
But every SmackDown, you have Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that odd?
It is.
What's the rationale to not having Cena work SmackDown, I wonder?
It could be he's doing other stuff, media, or what have you. It could just be one of the perks of being John Cena.
I just mean, like, if they want him on the show, he's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
So they evidently don't want him on the show.
Yeah. It is kind of a strange turn because, well, at this point, come next year, SmackDown's going to be a bit more of a bigger deal. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Cena on there more frequently. And for SmackDown's always had this weird stigma about it. Like, Triple H never wanted to work SmackDown's when he was wrestling.
Right, and yeah.
I don't know if it's a travel thing, where it's a bit more awkward for some reason, but...
Well, I mean, Triple H is there. I mean, okay, back then maybe he wasn't, though. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when he was a competitor, there was always a joke that Triple H doesn't work Tuesdays.
That was Heyman's line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where is he, by the way?
I don't know. They could use him.
Can't they do... I don't know.
Yeah, I'm...
Why do you have a talent that good and not find something for him to do? Like,
yeah.
Do you think it's better off to hold him off so he's fresher? I mean, you can make an argument to that, but, like, he's
honestly,
so good.
He is. Like, he is absolutely outstanding when they put him out there for 5, 10, 15 minutes and just let him talk.
Put the fucker on commentary or something. Just
do something
with him.
Yeah, he's just ungodly talented.
Yes, he
is. Oh, you know what? Bam, GM. If you're going to have a GM...
Oh, no.
If you have to have a GM, at least a dude who can talk, at least a dude who's never been... Historically, like, he's never been really afraid of Hunter and Stephanie. Because he has Brock Lesnar on his side.
Oh, of recent, yes. He does.
So, he's never really cowed to them like some people in the past. So, if they had to have an authority figure, I'd be down with Heyman. And he's like, oh, you don't want to listen to me? Allow me to introduce you to my client. Done.
I hope they don't do a GM.
No, I'm happy with not having one.
Man, I am just done with authority figures in wrestling, like, entirely.
Dude, how many times have I said that?
Every show.
Every
but
show.
It's still relevant because they're still there.
Yeah, and it's just so irritating that Triple H and Stephanie have to be out for 20 minutes. That they need 20 minutes to set up their main event. And they're doing some stuff right, but they're doing so much stuff backwards.
Yeah.
And it seems like the pieces are almost in place for a competent storyline, but they get jostled at the last second and it's out of order and mismatched. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, let's see. We've got, we've already talked about Roman as champion. Sheamus as number one contender, not feeling so much. I guess you got to burn the program off, but.
Yeah.
The bigger issue I see is they are not creating a challenger. And
no.
The only thing I can think is they're intending at Rumble to do Roman versus Triple H.
Yeah, at this point, it's a shame because it seems like that's the only thing they've got left.
Yeah.
And it's that or Lesnar.
Yeah. What do you do?
Exactly.
Because I mean, they literally have no full-time strong heels right now, and they have to create someone. And unless this Owens thing is going to lead into, you know, making him into the top guy, but, you know, Roman's beat him twice.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Bloom's off the rose there. You can do Cena if you wanted.
There's Ambrose.
They're just never going to do that.
No.
I mean, I've been waiting on the heel turn for a half fucking year. It's not going to happen anymore. I mean, I say that and it's going to happen tomorrow, but, you know.
Yeah, it could be fun.
I mean, I just look at it like, who are they getting ready?
Nobody.
You know, it's not going to be Del Rio. It's not going to be Rusev. It's not going to be Barrett.
I mean, like, to me, each one of those names reeks of, like, a short-term program.
Right. The only full-time guy who I can see, well, it's one of two people. It's turning Ambrose or it's heating up Owens. Those are the only two full-timers I can possibly think of who they can put with him.
And they just, you know, Ambrose and Owens just finished a feud.
Owens and Roman.
Yeah. Owens just lost the IC title. It's going to take a little bit of time for him to really feel like a world title contender.
Yeah. So if you wanted to heat him up between now and Rumble, you know, and have him win the Rumble, you know, you have enough time to get him ready to where he is a viable challenger for that.
Absolutely.
And I think he has more of an innate connection with the audience that, he, you know, he do.
Yeah.
To me, though, the money program for full-time guy is turning Ambrose, but I guess they're just not going to do it.
Yeah. I mean, Ambrose moves a fair bit of merch. I don't know why they seem to think that heels don't sell merchandise.
Well, they do, but they don't sell as much. And, I mean, even CM Punk had talked about how it cut into his merch sales a fuck ton when he turned.
But if you have a heel who's cool,
mm-hmm.
Nexus had a ton, moved a lot of merch.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. They didn't move merch for shit.
Well, there were a lot of Nexus shirts in the crowds.
Yeah, they actually were a horrible merch mover, believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah, the Nexus were an enormous failure as merch goes.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, heels can sell. The NWO, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like that was a thing that could only work in the 90s. You can create a cool heel faction if you wanted to, or a cool heel, or whomever, you know? And it's character specific to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Ambrose is, like, such a priority on the merch department that moving him heel would cut in so badly to his bottom line. But, I mean, how long have we been waiting for the Ambrose turn?
Yeah, and they've had opportunities where it seemed like he was cutting those, you know, encouragement promos.
Right. Seemed a little disingenuous, maybe.
Yeah.
And then nothing came of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean,
said that.
If you had to do it, if you had to create a full time person to feud with Owens who or with Roman, who would it be?
The Big Show.
Would like he knock over Big Show's vape rig?
Yeah.
Knock it over and break it, and Big Show would be pissed off.
Yep.
Roman would get him a new one next week, but it would blow up in his face.
Yeah, Roman keeps trying to to reconcile, and things go wrong, and it just makes Big Show hate him more.
See, this is the hell of a feud. You know what? Actually, better idea. It worked for Daniel Bryan, it worked for Seth Rollins, it can work for Roman Reigns. Put him in there with the Demon Kane.
Oh, yeah.
Or Corporate Kane. Pick your poison.
Both.
Triple threat.
Kane's horror movie character.
You can bring up Jacob Goodnight, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Three different Canes for one man to feud with.
Exactly. Just like Mick Foley.
That's the worst knockoff of Foley ever. And I've seen Abyss.
Dear God.
No, but if you had to pick, who would it be? Would it be an Ambrose turn, or would it be an Owens, or would it be someone else who I'm not thinking of?
I don't know. Owens is pretty great.
Yeah.
There's Rusev.
There is Rusev.
That's pretty fresh, at least.
Could be fresh, yeah.
Yeah.
Heat him up in the next 2 months.
The matches would be horrible.
Would they?
But no, I'm not done my thought yet. Thank you for interrupting me.
Oh, I apologize. I was taken aback.
Ryback. Come on. I freaking called Sheamus and Roman, didn't I?
Did you?
I did. I said that would be my worst case scenario for a feud.
Well, at least that,
like,
feud
was, oh, dear God,
hinted
no.
at, you know? It was always an option on the table. I don't think Ryback's an option on the table, is it?
He could be. Honestly, I mean, you look what got him over before, just squashing dudes.
Very true.
In short order. Done. You built... To your casual viewer, a dude winning a bunch of matches is enough to get him on a hot streak.
Worked, yeah, it literally worked for him once.
So, have him squash dudes, have him squash some beloved faces, whatever. Have him beat the shit out of one Uso, then the other.
You know, he is, he's been working really hard of late. You saw his tornado dive, right?
Yeah.
He's given it his all, that Ryback. He's
a big dumb fuck moron, but...
Yeah, he believes in the secret.
He does.
So, I mean, you can't even argue that he's not a dumb fuck.
So, yeah.
So your idea is maybe Rusev, maybe Ryback.
Look at what they've given me to consider working with.
They got Owens.
Yeah, Owens would be fine.
Yeah. I don't know. They're real shortage of guys you could possibly go with. I'd like to see Ambrose. I would like to see that feud.
Yeah.
And then when Seth comes back, you can make them kiss and they all get back together.
I want to see... The only reason I don't want to see Ambrose is I want it to be written well. And Ambrose, if they let him go out there for 20 minutes, then, okay, he can make the feud work.
Yeah.
But, honestly, like, I would want them to have an endgame for that feud rather than just a series of matches.
Yeah, yeah, very true. You'd like to see it done right.
Exactly.
Who knows? So, I am running out of topics, Kath. Do you have anything else that you wanted to touch upon this week?
I'm so tired.
Yeah, me too. Let's go ahead and get to your questions. I think you asked late, so we have a total of one.
Yes. Okay, why does anyone work for Two-Face?
Everyone's
we are
watching Batmans.
Yes.
I'm not. I'm doing a podcast.
I am so watching Batman.
Why does anyone work for Two-Face, Kath? You know the lore a lot better than I do. Does he kill his people?
No, he just seems to come up with terrible plans or outfits that are, like, red on one side, black on the other. So, maybe it's villains with poor fashion sense who don't know what they want to wear.
That could be. Pick my outfit for me, sure.
You know, it's kind of like how certain high schools, like, or Catholic schools, they have a uniform. Because that takes away a lot of elitism. Everybody's dressed the same. My brother teaches at a military school. Everything is the same, like down to socks and underwear. So it doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter, you know, who your parents are. You're all dressed identically.
That's weird.
So, you know, maybe it helps form a sense of identity and cohesiveness. That they want. That they're missing in life.
Good reason as any.
You know, who wouldn't want to work for Tommy Lee Jones?
Plenty of people. I don't want to work for a guy just because he's a famous actor.
Well, he's Tommy Lee Jones in his Two-Face attire.
Does he match my 401k?
He would probably double it if he flipped the coin right.
And if not, he kills me.
Yeah.
Huh.
Take a pick. Yeah. I mean, wrestlers have had henchmen for more spurious reasons.
Very true.
God, I miss Mattitude. It was so fucking stupid. It was wonderful. And the greatest part was, like, the people who didn't get the joke.
What was the joke exactly?
Well, Mattitude followers, MFers.
MFer, yeah.
And then Shannon Moore had Crash Holly as his assistant, and Crash Holly was a moron. And you had, like, fangirls who were proudly proclaiming themselves to be morons.
Aww, were you
and
one?
And MFers.
Which were you?
I was the MFer, because I thought it was so freaking funny. Like, stuff like, I miss stuff like that. You know, Matt Hardy coming in, crashing a holiday party on SmackDown, carrying a boombox, playing his theme song.
I miss the feeling of permanence.
Yeah. Like, that was, that sort of goofy stuff was always a lot of fun.
When it worked, absolutely.
Yeah. And they've really kind of missed that lighthearted stuff where they've kind of got it with Bo Dallas, where he scared Mark Henry, and Mark Henry responded by punching him in the face.
That was good. That was that was an actual good bit of humor there.
Yeah, so like those little touches of humor that are almost accidental are fantastic.
Are you telling me that you are not a fan of the Rose Bush?
I don't understand what they're going for.
I don't know if they do either. And if they do, God help us, they have not made it clear to us.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, how does that lead to a match or a feud?
Or to anything, like, how is this entertaining to you?
Like,
why do you people think this is good?
At least with Barrett, like, he would do stuff where he'd mock people. Or he had this bit with Jack Swagger when Swagger lost to Rusev. And he talked about how, like, Swagger losing means that, you know, and it, he basically piled stuff upon stuff until Jack Swagger losing led to the economic collapse of America.
Everyone bet their money on him winning, and then Rusev won, and then people started killing themselves in grief. And he talked about how once, I think it was Thanksgiving, people were going to eat, and they were all going to die because they would eat so much.
Yeah, and just silly stuff, like,
how did he make that shit work?
Because, like, tone.
He's so good.
Yeah. Tone and believability, and
some guys are just good talkers.
Yeah.
Most are not. But goddamn, he is.
And it's just always been a thing with him where he can make that stupid shit work.
Yes, he can.
Yeah.
Love that, well, Barrett.
We've had a very short episode this week.
That we have. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about? Do you want to give any shout-outs to your fans out there? Or talk about your birthday? Or,
well, the store I went to was called The Mermaid and Weasel.
The Mermaid and Weasel.
Yes.
And that's where you made the buttons?
Yeah, we made buttons. I bought this adorable little, it's basically like a knit in the shape of a pumpkin pie. And it's adorable.
Huh.
Absolutely love those people. They're just the nicest people in the whole wide world.
Is this like a chain, or is it just like a,
it's just a store run by some friends.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. That's my corporate shout-out. Maybe I'll get a free knit pie. Or a cool pair of socks.
Maybe.
Or
maybe.
D20 necklace.
Well,
yeah, if it works for Seth Rollins and his million-plus followers, it can work for me and all the millions who listen to this podcast.
Millions upon millions.
Possibly billions.
Possibly billions upon billions of people, yes indeed.
Alrighty.
Well, I guess let's go ahead and wrap it up, kid.
Yeah, absolutely. Merry upcoming Christmas soon.
Peace on Earth, can it be, years from now? Perhaps we'll see.
Silver bells.
Pum-pum-pum-pum. We'll be back. Let's figure out our schedule real quick, because 1 week today will be Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do a show on Christmas Eve, so it'll either have to be next Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday.
Yeah, we can sort that out.
Or probably weekend, Wednesday. Or something.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not doing anything Christmas Day.
I am.
Loser.
Probably not later on, though. We'll see. We'll figure it out, Kath.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everyone, for listening to our show. And we'll be back whenever we're back. And by golly, we'll let you know. So go ahead and subscribe and fave and retweet and
all that great stuff.
Give us the love.
Hell yeah.
Farewell.
Bye-bye.